Thank you for that welcome. How is the new year going? With the cooler weather, I still feel that I've not come into the summer yet. But I forgot that already 3 weeks. This is the third Sunday of January, and we just got one more Sunday, and then we're going to enter into the month of vision. How exciting it is. And this time we are doing it differently, and we are going to dedicate the whole month of February as a month of vision. So whatever you do, please don't miss the month of February. And it's going to be exciting. And when we reveal, when Pastor Chris revealed what is the vision for the month and what we are going to set about to do for this year, it's going to be excited. And we will all join our hearts together to seek the kingdom of God. It's good to be in the house of God. We are so blessed in this country that we can come freely to the church to worship the God. We're not in other countries where people have to travel overnight just to come on to visit a Sunday service. And people sometimes have to hide underground to visit to worship God. But in this country, we are so blessed that we can come freely to a Sunday morning service and worship God. Before I start my sermon, I just want to start with this one. A few years ago, my company sent me on a business training. The guy who took the training was the owner of a gym, and he had multiple branches. The training topic was critical success factors. I think people who have done businesses courses, they may understand what I'm talking. Critical success factor is there on every business, and it is the factors that every business need to look at if they want to survive and if they want to prosper. And he was explaining why each business need to focus on their critical success factors. And he was talking from his own experience, and he made a comment about the critical success factor of his gym, which actually shocked me. He said, "If I want my gym to be successful, I have to sell my gym membership over and above my capacity." So he was saying, if my gym capacity is 100, I need to sell at least 140 gym membership to be successful. I was shocked. Other people were shocked. And we asked him, how can you manage? On one day, if you have sold 140 membership and you have place for only 100 people to do workout, if everyone turn out, what will happen? He laughed and he said, my members are not that committed, and very small percentage is regulars. It is true. If we are attending gym and we know that commitment is very important. And just for the gym and just for your workout, if commitment is important, for life, commitment is more important than that. Commitment is very important to achieve anything in our life. Today I'm going to talk about commitment. My title today is Commit Your Way to the Lord. We're going to look at verse from Psalm 37, chapter 37, verse 5 and 6. Should come up on the screen. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. Another translation says, He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and your justice of your cause like a noonday sun. Let us pray before we continue into this, continue to look at the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that you have given me to bring this word to our congregation, Lord. Bless these words, Lord. Let these words be yours, Lord, not mine, Lord. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. We come before you with open heart, Lord. Speak to us what is necessary for us right now, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so amazed when I started studying about commitment, there are lots of verses in Bible, and there are lots of examples in Bible about commitment. Old Testaments full of verses and full of stories. We're not going to look at all of those. I'm just going to talk under three headings. And my first heading is committed to put God first in your life. So how can we commit your way to the Lord? One way you can commit your way to the Lord is if you are committed to put God first in your life. We can put God first in our life when we commit ourselves to seek His kingdom first. Elder Louis spoke about this a little bit last week. Putting God first means following God wholeheartedly. God will never force Himself into our life to make Himself as number one. It is our responsibility to make God first in our life. The responsibility lies upon us, not upon God, because God has already redeemed us by sacrificing His one and only Son. The Bible says, if you draw near God, He will draw near you. If you put God first in your life, the Bible says He will bless you, He will guide you, and He will lead you. He will be your shield and protector. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed that I have godly parents in my life. We praise God for our godly parents in the church. He blesses our parents who bring their children week in, week after to the church. When we bring our kids to the church, we are teaching them to put God first in our life. My parents, when they came to Australia to visit me, they didn't care about how big is my house or what kind of car I'm driving. All they are interested is to know whether I'm putting God first in my life, whether I'm seeking God's kingdom, because they knew this word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I think we all knew this verse. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Bible clearly mentions what is our priority: to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. 10 years ago, I was part of the young adults group here in the church. Elder Gary and Kayleen was the leaders of the young adults group at the time. 10 years ago, I was young and maybe good looking too. I'm not sure about whether Gary was like that. Today he looked a bit young because he had a funky haircut. Ten years ago, at the time, I have just migrated to Australia. I was finding it very difficult to adjust to anything, the climate, the food, lifestyle. There was a time I just wanted to go back to my country. I couldn't stand anymore. One day at the Albion Station car park, I will never forget this. Inside Gary's car, I was pouring out my heart to Gary with tears in my eyes and asked him to pray for me. Gary listened to me carefully and he gave me these words, the same words I just spoke to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Gajan, only I can tell you, continue to seek His kingdom and wait upon the Lord, and He will open the right door for you. It is true. God did open the right door for me. Otherwise, I won't be here. I won't be standing here in front of you. Amen. So I have tasted these words. What a verse to give to a young person who is about to start a new life in a new country. Maybe for our young people here, if you are looking for direction, you know what to do. Just seek His kingdom and seek His righteousness and put God first in your life. I can assure you that everything else will fall into place. We're going to look at Old Testaments where two guys followed God wholeheartedly. We know the story about Joshua and Caleb. I love reading Old Testaments because you can see the heart of the God, and you can see the power and mighty of God. You can read from Numbers chapter, the book of Numbers chapter verse 13 and 14. We are not going to read all these chapters, but I'm just going to summarize about two guys who were mentioned in these chapters. And we know these stories, so I'll just summarize it. God commands Moses to send spies to their promised land of Canaan. And he asked him to select 12 spies. And two of them were Joshua and Caleb. And the spies goes into the land and come back. And out of 12, 10 said, "No way, we can't go into the land because there are giants and we will look like a grasshoppers." The two people stand firm, that is Joshua and Caleb, and they say, "No, we can go into the land. God can give this land to us." But others were spreading the rumors that, no, it's not going to be possible. So what happened? The Israelites got afraid, and they were even thinking about selecting a new leader to go back to Egypt. They have just come out of Egypt, but they wanted to go back to Egypt. At the time, Joshua and Caleb proclaimed, "God will bring them into the promised land," and urge Israelites not to rebel against God. And we know the story. God declared the rebels will not enter into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. After 45 years, we're just going to read from Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 and 9. After 45 years, Caleb is about to receive his allotment of the promised land. There is three verses. Let's read chapter 14 from verse 7. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction." Verse 8. "But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made their hearts of the people melt in fear." That is the 10 spies. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So the verse 9. "So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" I have highlighted those words, that he has followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Putting God first in your life means you have to follow Lord your God wholeheartedly. God expects everything from us. Pastor Pat spoke during the tithes and offering. She said, when you give your heart, you give everything to him, because when you surrender your heart, everything else belongs to God. So God expects us to follow him wholeheartedly. My point here is, God expects us to do this. And when we do that, you can see from these last words, not just Caleb and his children were also blessed. Nothing excites me when I see the parents and the kids and the grandparents, sometimes even great-grandparents in the church, the whole generation worshiping God. I'm going after this. I want to follow my God wholeheartedly because I want my generation, my children, my children's children to worship God. Today morning, we have to ask ourselves, are we committing to follow our God wholeheartedly? My second point, to commit your way to Lord is our commitment to trust God. We can commit our way to Lord when we put our complete trust in God. In the Bible, we can read that David declared in whom he is trusting. We're going to read from Psalm 91, verse 2. This is David writing, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." In the Bible, we can read that David was always chased by a jealous King Saul. Wherever David went, Saul was behind him, always chasing. David was hiding in several places. David has to find a good hiding place to survive. We know that David was a shepherd boy. Probably David knows places where he can hide because he was guiding his sheep. So he knows the places well enough. But what he's saying, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. David didn't put his trust in his art of finding good hiding place. But David put the trust in God, and he is declaring, God is my refuge and my fortress and in whom I trust. Again, I'm going to look at from Old Testaments. We can read in several places the Israelites, the life of Israelites. They're putting their trust in God. But you know, their trust in God was like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes they trust and they grumble, and they trust again, they grumble. Sometimes I think, Lord, if I was in the Old Testament, after seeing all these miracles, I would have trusted you. But not really. Because Israelites went through lots of things. But if you look at it, our lives is in the same way. We have Israelites has different issues. We live in a different world and we do have different issues in these times. It's easier to compare, but we can't compare. But the Bible is the same and God's words never change. And we can apply all these situations to ours. When Israelites saw their miracles, for example, when they came out of Red Sea, they simply trusted their God. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. This is Israelites just came out of the Red Sea. They're on the other side of the Red Sea. When the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. And in Moses, his servant. Israelites put their trust in God because they saw how God delivered them from Pharaoh's army. But if you go back and read in the same chapter 14, the previous verses, verse 11 and 12, we can see they were grumbling against Moses. Verse 11 and 12, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, leave us to serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve Egyptians rather than to die in the desert." So these were the words of the Israelites in the same chapter. But after some time, they put their trust in God. We can clearly see that Israelites didn't have continuous commitment to trust God. God wants us to trust Him continuously. He's expecting us to trust, expecting Him to trust every day, every single situation. Sometime in our life, we feel like many unwanted things chasing us. Some of you, it could be financial difficulties, or it could be relationship issues, it could be health-related issues, it could be many things. when unwanted things chasing us, where are we seeking refuge? David relied on God and he said, He is my refuge and He is my fortress. When you go through difficult time, where are we trying to hide? Where is our focus? What are we saying to others at the time of difficult? When challenges and obstacles arise, we are called to declare God is our refuge and strength. We are called to declare His word, and we are called to declare that God is on our side. The Bible asks us not to lean on our understanding, but to trust God. This is why we got several avenues in the church. We got small groups, we got our grow groups, and we got young adults, we got youth, we got several avenues in the church, the midweek activities, so that we can come together and we can pray together and we can worship God together. If we put continuously ourselves in the midst of the people who can fill us with our heart and our mind with God's word, that is the security we have in God. And that's a wonderful opportunity for us to come together to worship Him. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And this is another verse which is an interesting word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. The Bible asks us clearly to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the previous verses we look at it, God is asking him to follow wholeheartedly. As Pastor Pat rightly said, the heart is very important. When we give our heart to the Lord, and this is all possible. I'm going to share my own testimony where once I trusted God and God abundantly blessed me. I was working for a PVC pipes and water tanks company back in my country. They manufacture big PVC pipes and big water tanks. I was working in a junior position in the finance department. This is back in my country 10 years before, probably 15 years before. I was there in the junior position for quite a long time. I just wanted to grow, and I wanted to step up in my position. I just wanted to go to the next level. Basically, I was looking for a promotion. I looked at my organizational chart. I'm here, and the others are here. I looked at it and thought on my own, there is no way I can advance to the next level, because those guys who are working in the next level were working there for a long time. They are faithful. They are really good. There is no way I can proceed to the next level. I was Christian at the time, so the right thing to do is to pray about my situation. So I started praying and I started applying for jobs. Because I thought, there's no way I will get an opportunity in my organization to grow. So the only option is available is just to go outside the company. I was praying. I was applying for jobs. I got few calls. After some time, I attended few interviews. I was still praying. After some time, I got a call from a company where I went for an interview some time back, and they told me, we have selected you for the job. Could you please come for a final discussion? We have to discuss when you're going to start and how much salary you are expecting and whatever you are going to do and how soon you can come and all other things. I was so excited. I was very happy. I started praying. I thanked God and I told him, thank you, God. Thank you for this new opportunity you have opened me, and I was so excited. While I was praying, God told me, please don't accept this job. That was difficult. I think some of you maybe have come through this situation. So I was asking, I was telling God, why? This is a great opportunity. I can't grow up in my organization. I can't go up in the ladder. This is the opportunity I have to take. And I was praying, you could have stopped me. Why did you allow me to go for an interview? You know what? After 10 years, I understand you will ask less questions when you get mature in God, because you understand. You understand how God works. God reminded me about this situation, about this testimony when Pastor Chris was speaking last year about the timing. I don't know whether you remember. Pastor Chris preached a beautiful sermon about timing. He was talking about God's timing and our timing, that God can see the whole thing and we can't see the whole thing. And if you missed any of our sermon, you can go to the internet and you can go to our website and it's there and you can all listen. So I was thinking. So I told the company, okay, I'll get back to you in a couple of days because I'm still not sure what I should do. So I continued praying. After a few more days, eventually I said, okay, God, I'll trust you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll trust you. I rejected the opportunity. It was not easy. Like Israelites, they find it very difficult. I find it very difficult to do. It was not easy because I was very young at the time. After this happened, every day I wake up, a thought come into my mind. You have missed a great opportunity. You have missed a great opportunity. This is not from God. This is from you. So I continue praying. I continue praying. I was crying, continuously praying. And this went on for another 3 months. After 3 months, one day my boss called me into his office and he asked me, can you shut the door behind you? So I was thinking, oh my gosh, I have done something wrong. What I have done wrong? Who has complained against me? What report I didn't give it on time? Because I know when we shut the door, what we discuss. So he told me, I need to tell you something. Your immediate superior has resigned her job and I have decided to promote you to that position. And so he asked me, are you happy to take that position? Praise God. So this is my testimony. When I trusted God, he blessed me. But I can tell you, it was not easy. I can tell you, it was not easy. So that's what I say. We look at Israelites and we think, they saw all these miracles. They saw all this mighty hand of God, but they still were rebelling against God. But sometime we could do that too. I did it. I was asking God, why? Then I regretted it. And God actually reminded me when Pastor Chris was speaking that you asked these questions from me. God is faithful. Amen. I praise God that I didn't lean on my own understanding. I trusted God with my situation. Because my own understanding it, I will never get a promotion in my company. Are you going through something like that? Maybe it's not in your job position. Maybe your family situation. Maybe you're praying for someone in your family for a salvation. Someone in your family for a healing. Or even a job. Or whatever the situation is, if you put trust in Him, He will honor it. You have to go through the perseverance and you have to trust in God. When we start declaring Jesus is our refuge and fortress in whom we trust, we will see the goodness of God in a wonderful way. Because Bible says, whoever dwells in the shelter of Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. Whoever dwell in the shelter of Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. Do you want to dwell in the shelter of Most High? Start declaring, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, and in whom we trust. My third point, I'm going to finish with this. If you want to commit your way to the Lord, God is expecting to commit, make commitment to our family. Make commitment to our family that God has given us. Today we can see the value of this world is drifting away from biblical principles. We can see continuous attack of the enemy on our families, on our marriages, on our kids, and values of our family system. This is a time God is calling us to commit, make commitment to the family God has given us. I had a work colleague. He never goes home on Friday night to see his wife and kids. He reaches home only on Saturday morning, about 5 a.m., if he's lucky. Sad, isn't it? The world values are drifting away from biblical principles. The marriage principles are getting continuously attacked. I've seen many people at work, living together has become an accepted form of marriage in our society. They take it very simply. This is a time when everything is working against God's principle, but God is expecting us to commit our family, make commitment to the family. Let us read from Joshua, where Joshua is challenging the Israelites to commit the way to their God. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. This is the last part of Joshua. Verse 14, where we are going to read, Joshua has gathered all the Israelites' communities and he's speaking to them. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away God your ancestors worship beyond Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So he's telling them to get rid of all the gods they worship, which their ancestors worshipped. The next one is a challenging verse. But if serving Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond Euphrates or the gods of Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. This is what I'm hoping and I'm dreaming. This is what I wanted for my family. The Joshua is challenging the Israelites. He's basically telling Israelites that they've got two options. You can serve the foreign gods that your ancestor worshipped, or you can serve our Lord God Almighty. Choice is yours. I didn't know what you are going to choose, but I'm going to choose the right option. This is what Joshua is saying to them. I don't know what you are going to choose, but I'm going to choose the right option. I'm declaring that me and my household will serve the Lord. What a commitment from Joshua. Love this commitment. If you want to commit your way to the Lord, can you take up this commitment with your family today? And we thank God for our parents and our faithful believers who are already committed to serve God. I'm going to finish here. I just want to summarize what I mentioned before. Commitment is an important part in our life. Anything you wanted to do, if you want to do well in your career, if you want to do well in your sports, if you want to build up your body through gym, anything, for your marriages, for your studies, everything, commitment is very important. And there are lots of places God speaks about commitment. And before we do anything, any commitment to the world, God is first asking us to commit our way to Him. God is expecting us to commit our ways to Him, and it is our responsibility, not God's responsibility, to commit our ways to God, because He has already done enough. He has already done on the cross. He has given his son for us. All what he is expecting us to do is to commit to him. Three things we do, three things we looked at, that three things we can do to commit our ways to God. Seeking God first and following God wholeheartedly. Putting our complete trust in God and making a commitment to seek God as a family. My situation and my background is different. I can't compare my situation and my background against you. But I know we serve one God whose promises are yes and amen in him, in Jesus Christ. And he can only deliver us from our situations. So today morning, if you're challenged by this verse, if you want to recommit, or if you want a commitment of any of these, what I have spoken, this is an opportunity for you. Just surrender it to him and you will see a difference. Because I saw a difference. And lots of people, and you guys will have your own testimonies. And testimonies are the best thing we can share. I was so amazed to hear lots of testimonies. I was speaking to Anil during the holidays and he was telling me, Gajan, you know what? No one else can love us more than Jesus do. No one else can love us more than Jesus do. What a statement. I'm just going to pray. Let's bow our head and pray. And if you want prayer, if you're touched by these words, and if you want to recommit your life, just step forward and come before the Lord. And I'll stand with you and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can listen to the word of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, that for this about commitment you spoke to us. Lord, we need commitment in every areas of our life. But more than that, we want to commit. We want to commit to follow you, Lord. We want to commit our way to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless these words, Lord. Let these words sing into our heart, Lord. And let us commit and let us surrender to you, Lord. This morning, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.